This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Looking at the price of thermostats, it went up a little bit, Joe. You know, it used to be $5.99. Now there's $7.99 for the inexpensive ones. They used to have some that had a lifetime warranty, and they've improved that, so they now only have a one-year warranty, Joe. Just want to let you know. So I know you like to go fast. And if you decide that you're going to have a thermostat replacement done, it's going to cost you more. Joe. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, Ben. We have a great class for our students today. In fact, this class is so good, it should be three classes. But we'll cram it into one, and we got some really interesting and important subjects to discuss for everybody this morning.
Okay, very good.
So I'll start off with an update on the stock market. And for once, and I don't know if this has happened before on a Friday, but for once, we actually have a stock market rally. And hard to say if the worst is off, but what triggered it was the Federal Reserve concluded a bank test of bank solvency to test if the banks can survive a downturn of the likes that we had in 2008, 2009. And the good news is all the major banks passed the test, and so that allows the banks to pay dividends to their shareholders, amongst other things. But it's also a sign that the banks are not in the terrible shape they were in 2008. In fact, if you remember in 2008, a lot of banks and investment companies were basically insolvent because of the mortgage-backed securities that they were selling to people that were basically not worth probably the paper they were printed on. In fact, they were worth negative money. And some of them went out of business, and it was a terrible time for those who remember the financial markets and the whole economy and everything back in 2008. So that triggered a rally today. Unfortunately, they're not talking about it on CNBC. I used to enjoy CNBC because they did not get into politics. It was one of the few TV stations that concentrated on what they were chartered to do, and that was talk about business. And all morning long, all they're talking about is the abortion ruling. And I don't get it. That doesn't really connect to business, even tangentially. So I'm a little disappointed that they're, you know, showing protests and everything going on. And, you know, I wanted to hear about business and see if the market is turning, if, you know, after 6 months of down market, if there might be some light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't get it. For an hour and a half, all they've been talking about is this terrible ruling by the Supreme Court. And I don't even go there because it was a common sense ruling. But Vince, they disappointed me a little on their coverage. But the good news is we do have a stock market rally. It's up over 600 points on the Dow, and high-tech companies are doing well. And so there you have it. We'll see if that's some.
Now, when you say terrible ruling, you're talking about abolishing Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, the Supreme Court. So I don't want to talk about it on USA Prepares, but Supreme Court said there should have never been a ruling at all on abortion. It's not for the federal government to be deciding. It's certainly not for the Supreme Court to be deciding. So they reversed it and said it goes back to the states. The states can decide what to do, and it's up to the people to decide what to do. Personally, Vince, you know, I don't want to get into it, but I think I just can't see killing a beautiful baby. That's
my only concern was that when you said a terrible ruling, you didn't mean from your perspective. I believe you're talking about from the media's perspective.
Yeah, and that's what's horrible. I go to CNBC to watch business, and it is an important business day. If this stock market really is turning after 6 months of just absolutely, I mean, probably haven't seen 6 months down like that since the Great Depression, I want to hear about that. And I'm looking at the screen right now. They're still showing protesters in front of the Supreme Court building. It's like, I don't want to hear that. If I want to see protesters, I can go to MSNBC, not CNBC. So that's what I meant, Vince.
Yeah, and the point that I was trying to make is that you are not for murder of defenseless, innocent babies. You're not for that. Neither am I.
Of course not. And I don't get how people are. So.
And neither is anyone else that I know of at USA Prepares. We are not for murder. That's the position that the Biden administration wants. They're forcing their opinions on the rest of the public, and they are pro-murder. They are pro-gun confiscation. They are pro-gun registration. They are pro-illegal aliens coming into the United States. Everything that we find abhorrent, they seem to love.
Yeah, Vince, it's so bad that there's a bill in Virginia, and I think it's stalled. The bill in Virginia would actually allow abortion after the baby's born and alive to give the mother the option of ending the life of a born baby, if you can imagine how outrageous things are going. And that bill's going nowhere because there's a new governor in Virginia, but the bill was started last year. I mean, imagine that, how crazy things are getting when you have even discussing something like that is so off-putting.
Virginia used to be a beautiful state in many, many respects, freedom, and everything like that, everything that Americans loved. I mean, if you look at Jamestown, if you look at, you know, the history of this country, Virginia speaks volumes. It's been destroyed. It's been destroyed since then. So,
Vince, we have a jam-packed class today. We're going to talk about EVs, we're going to talk about hydrogen-powered cars, and we're also going to talk about something that's just occurred that might be the end of life as we know it on the planet. So which would you like to cover first?
Well, let's start with let's start with EVs.
Yeah, because, you know, the end of life as we know it might not happen till 2 or 3 days from now. So Vince, a lot of people heard about that brave retired police officer in Buffalo who gave his life to save the lives of others, because when that crazed gunman went in the supermarket, the security guard was a retired police officer. And that police officer, who was very brave, and by the way, did what police officers in Texas at that school didn't do. That brave police officer was also besides being a retired policeman, a engineer who was working on a hydrogen from water fueled automobile engine in his spare time. And hard to say how far he was getting. Didn't seem to have the interest of the major oil companies, obviously not auto companies, who are still struggling with how to do electric cars. So they didn't have much interest in what he was doing. But his name was Aaron Salter Jr., and he actually was pioneering converting water to hydrogen and then using that hydrogen to power an automobile engine, which may be the way we'll be traveling 50 or 100 years from now. So he was way ahead of his time, basically using electrolysis to break down the water to form hydrogen and then using that hydrogen energy source. So God bless him and for what he did for everybody. And so what are hydrogen cars, and how, you know, you've heard of the dirigibles that used to be powered by hydrogen. In fact, I think one of those had an ill-fated voyage in your home state, Vince, of New Jersey, I believe, about 100 years ago or so, a little less than 100 years ago.
Well, in the 30s, there was a dirigible called the Hindenburg, and it flew from Germany to the United States. And my wife's grandmother had a farm, and it flew over the farm, and they heard the roar of the two engines that drove the propellers. And this particular dirigible landed at Lakehurst Naval Air Station. And somebody took a picture of it.
Yeah, almost.
And I have the original photograph of the Nazi swastika tail flags on the dirigible. I have a photograph of it docked at the docking tower. Swastika is on the tail. And the next time it flew, it burst into flames.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of mystery about that, but yeah, it's true. And there was a .30-06 shell casing found on the tarmac where it landed. And so some people think that somebody shot through the skin. There was a hydrogen leak, and the exhaust heat from the engines caused the whole thing to burn up and everybody that was on it to die.
Yeah, so your relatives saw it on the first flight, which went presumably okay, and then it was the second flight in the process of docking when, and as you said, we're still not sure what happened, but it blew up. And for class, the hydrogen was not used as a fuel source. The fuel source, I believe, was just traditional diesel or aviation-powered engines that they had on the back. The hydrogen was simply to elevate it lighter than air and give it its buoyancy so it could travel freely through the atmosphere. And after that, they stopped using hydrogen a few years later because it was so dangerous, and moved to helium, which isn't as light, but completely inert as far as combustibility.
Yeah, there's nothing that we know of that's lighter than hydrogen. It's number one on the periodic chart.
Yeah, a vacuum would be lighter than hydrogen. That's
well,
about
vacuum.
It.
Okay, a vacuum is nothing, right?
A vacuum is nothing if you get
a complete vacuum, right?
Yeah, it's like putting your head around the concept of infinity. They say human brain cannot do it.
Right. Yeah.
So Vince, that's a little history of hydrogen as well. In that case, it's really just a stuffing in the dirigible, but in automobiles, it would actually be the fuel. And the idea would be you'd go to a fuel station and there'd be a pump there for hydrogen. In fact, they have that. In fact, I looked at a hydrogen vehicle before I bought my last car, and I did opt for just a straight EV, but I did look at the hydrogen-powered Toyota. And we'll get into, when we come back from break, we'll get into what are the actual mechanics of a hydrogen car, how does it operate, how does it compare to EVs, plug-in EVs, and regular gas-powered cars. Kind of interesting. It may not be what you're actually thinking in terms of how they're powered.
Yeah. Okay, Bert's with us. We'll be right back, and I think it's fabulous. EVs versus hydrogen. We'll be right back.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
GCN's policy is open forum avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Bert's with us. I'm looking forward to it. Bert, please continue.
Yeah, so in the next segment, we'll talk about how civilization, as we know it, might end in 3 days. But for now, we're talking about hydrogen cars. So basically, here's how they operate. And so, as I said, you fill your tank with hydrogen, and it's not a normal type of, you know, it doesn't go in as a liquid. It has to go in pressurized. So there's it's almost like a fire hose, if you've ever seen what the firemen use when they're fighting a fire, a big, huge thing. So probably might be a little unwieldy for a petite person to do because it's pretty robust. But you stick it in and kind of lock it in, and it fills up with hydrogen. Now, as you're running the car and burning the hydrogen, there's not a hydrogen engine per se. In other words, you know, however that would work, it's not a hydrogen engine burning it, making torque, which are transferred through a transmission to the rear wheels. What actually is done is the hydrogen goes into a fuel cell generator that creates electricity. So the hydrogen actually gets converted or burnt to water. So that's just like what happened when the Hindenburg blew up. People underneath it were actually being rained on, believe it or not. You'd think there'd be like flames falling on people, but what happened is they were getting soaked. So hydrogen is a very pure combustion, because basically when you burn it, you get water, which is, you know, kind of a fantastic kind of thing. You know, the hydrogen becomes H2O when it combines with oxygen. So, again, getting back to the car, there's not an engine or motor per se. There's a conversion cell that converts the hydrogen to electricity. And then you have an EV engine, much like a present EV car would have. In fact, you know, very similar to the electric motor that would be inside an EV. Now, one big difference between a hydrogen-powered car that converts to electric for the motor and, let's say, a plug-in hybrid is that there's only one motor in the hydrogen car, whereas in a plug-in EV, you have both the actual electric motor and you also have the gasoline engine that's generating electricity that can also double as an extra motor to go to the rear or front wheels for extra torque. For instance, I have a Ford plug-in EV, and if I step all the way on the gas, it turns the electric motor from a generator into actually driving the wheels to give you extra torque. Okay, you can't do that in a hydrogen-powered car because there is no hydrogen engine. It's just really a conversion process to create electricity for the EV. So given that difference, the question is, okay, sounds good. How does it stack up? What are the costs? You know, what's the cost of the car? What's the cost of the fuel? What's the mileage? And that sort of thing. Well, turns out it's not so effective compared to a gasoline-powered car, believe it or not. The hydrogen, if you actually look at, you know, miles per amount of hydrogen versus miles per amount of gasoline, at current prices, and they probably will come down, but at current prices, it's somewhere around 50 to 100% more. Even with the current gasoline increases, it's, you know, 50 to almost 100% more than a gasoline-powered car. Now, you don't necessarily see that because when I was looking at the Toyota Mirai hydrogen-powered car, they give you hydrogen for life. So you're allowed to, you get a card and you can just kind of go to the station and use this credit card and you never have to pay for the hydrogen. So that's an incentive. But if you were paying for it, it would be costing you more than the gasoline for the amount of miles you're going. So then you have, okay, what's the cost of the car? Well, the car is about double too. So now they have huge incentives and rebates and Toyota subsidizing it. But if you didn't have that, the car would cost double. So clearly, although it's very innovative and it's very pure in terms of there is no pollution, you're just making water. But in terms of cost, we're not there yet. It's everything costs more. As I said, the fuel up to double, the car up to double. The mileage isn't as good, but it might be the car of the future then. That all said.
Yeah, and you mentioned oxygen. So the fuel cells of a hydrogen-powered car not only use hydrogen, but they use atmospheric oxygen. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're still destroying, we're still burning up oxygen. We'll be right back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We have breaking news this hour. This breaking out of Washington, D.C. Roe versus Wade is no more in the United States of America. Roe and Casey are overruled by the Supreme Court just moments ago, now sending the choices to the states. Democrat activists are threatening to once again violently attack Americans if the Supreme Court does not rule their way in Roe versus Wade. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on the floor Thursday.
The far left is promising that all of this will only be the prelude to the main event if they don't like the rulings coming down the pike. One activist group is promising that our cities will be submerged in, quote, listen to this, a night of rage.
Once again, breaking news, the Supreme Court of the United States has overruled Roe versus Wade. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Wisconsin 2020 election investigator admits to destroying records. Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, his testimony in a Dane County courtroom, said he deleted accounts from the 2020 election investigation. The judge chided him for delivering contradicting remarks and disparaged the work his investigation had done as minimal. Gableman is facing 3 open records lawsuits. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton told Newsmax Thursday that passing a red flag law is largely ineffective and would not stop another Uvalde-type tragedy from happening.
Yeah, I don't think it would stop it in any way. I don't think it's going to be effective. I think what is effective is protecting these children at the point of entry, having school administrators and teachers ready to respond. Passing a red flag law, largely ineffective, I would guess, in preventing this from ever happening. And I certainly don't think that's the right direction to go, because what we're talking about is people here that are not going to follow laws. They're not going to follow murder laws. They're not going to follow gun laws. They will find ways to get guns. And if you start restricting law-abiding citizens, it just makes it difficult for law-abiding citizens to protect themselves.
The Biden administration announced Thursday it will send Ukraine another $450 million in military aid to help the country fend off Russia. The Department of Defense said the new aid packages include 4 long-range rocket launchers, as well as 36,000 artillery rounds. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
It's gonna be sliding. What are today's hot? Keep it. God, you're take my. You go to the for 2 seconds during.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
So just to be clear, class, I am for abortion in the case of rape. But let me delineate exactly what I mean. I mean abort the rapist. Abort the rapist, not the victim. Victims. Bert, back to you.
Okay, you can sign me up for that, Vince. So anyway, so on hydrogen automobiles, it's interesting technology. It's being currently subsidized in order to get it out there, because you have to start somewhere. But it may be in the future that's how we're driving, or it could be that's how we're flying if we start increasing our transportation mode to include small personal flying machines. Kind of, if you remember, that's how the Jetsons would get to and from work and home on their little private planes or jets that they had. So Vince, as we move toward EVs and charging and electric cars, you know, maybe that's the transition before we move to hydrogen in 50 years or so. We have to look at the electric grid, and is it able to handle the charging for all the cars that are contemplated? You know, they're talking about moving California to electric cars in 5 years or so, and we just don't have the infrastructure. So it's interesting. If you look at the electric grid, did you know, and for the purpose of class, that we actually divide the country up into three interconnected electric grids? We have a western interconnection, an eastern interconnection, and then we have something called ERCOT. I don't know where that name comes from, but that's basically Texas all by itself, Texas interconnection. So these three grids really can interconnect all the power companies within them, but they can't in any meaningful way connect between the three grids. So if you look at these three grids, you know, what's the capacity? Well, the western grid has a capacity of about 200 gigawatts. The eastern grid has a capacity of about 800 gigawatts. And the Texas grid has a capacity of about 100 gigawatts. So our total U.S. installed capacity is about 1.1 terawatts, or in another way, 1,100 gigawatts of capacity. So they think that'll be enough for, you know, maybe until, 2027 or so. But after that, if you just kind of plot out how EVs are growing, it's not going to be enough. So, and it's already not enough. In fact, in the bill that got passed last year for infrastructure, and we did pass that bill, they were supposed to put a lot of new, it was billions of dollars put aside for new electric charging. And honestly, as I drive around, I don't know where this billions of dollars was going, because I don't see, at least where I am, any meaningful new electric charging stations being put in. In fact, more often than not, I see problems where they have signs over it not working on a lot of the charging slots. So it's been a problem, and clearly the cars have advanced faster than the charging stations have. You know, we were hoping that where you could drive to any store, go to any Costco, go to any Home Depot, and you could just pull right up and keep your car charging. And unfortunately, that a few have it, but most don't. So that time hasn't arisen yet, and it's just not moving fast enough for the cars that are being sold. And you know, every year we sell more electric vehicles, and we just don't have enough charging stations. So that's a problem, and the grid's a problem. In terms of which of those three grids will handle it best, actually the eastern grid will probably handle it better, and the western grid's had a lot of problems already. Texas grid, hard to say. They're putting, you know, they had a big problem in Texas with a storm over the winter, and then problems with air conditioning and power outages during the summer. So they're putting a massive amount of rebuilding into the Texas power grid. So that, if they do it successfully, that may turn out to be the most reliable, but that's a wild card, because who knows how well those rebuilding projects are going to work. But in it, you know, just as kind of a summary, we just don't have a grid capable of supporting, let's say we got to where half the cars were electric. We don't have a grid at present to support that. So that's a priority we're going to have if we want to be able to support electric vehicles and drive them as ubiquitous as we do gasoline cars at present.
Okay, so ERCOT, that ERCOT, that's the word that you mentioned, that stands for the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. That's what ERCOT is. And Bert, so Here's the reality of the situation. I mentioned that typical house in the United States of America uses about 33 kilowatts of electricity per day. And if you have a 100 kilowatt battery in an electric car, that would take, with 100% efficiency of charging, which does not exist, you don't get 100% efficiency when you charge a battery, it would take 3 days worth of electricity that would power a normal home to charge an electric car. So they use an enormous amount of electricity. I mean, they're quiet because they have special tires, by the way. The tires that are on electric vehicles are not the same as the vehicle tires that you're all riding around with, your gas or diesel-powered vehicles. They're designed to be quieter. They're designed to have less rolling resistance, and they are also designed to carry a heavier load because the battery bank in an electric vehicle is extremely heavy. So all that being said, you know, there are some challenges to electric vehicles. Even the wheels of electric vehicles are specially designed to minimize the turbulence of the air that that surrounds the wheels. I'm being very serious. As a matter of fact, right now, Toyota is recalling all of their electric vehicles because they have a problem with the wheels falling off. No kidding. Literally, there's a recall of 100% of the Toyota electric vehicles because the wheels fall off. You can look it up. Now, add to that the Ford F-150. So the F-150 is touted as a really neat truck, and it has a feature which is bidirectional charging. This bidirectional charging thing sounds, on the surface, it sounds like a really, really neat idea. And literally, so if you have a charger in your home and you plug it in your garage, for example, you can charge the battery while you're sleeping. That's wonderful. But it has a 200 kilowatt battery bank. So that would be, charging that thing up will take the electricity that would normally run a house for 6 days or six houses for 1 day. Literally. I'm not exaggerating. But they claim it's a really neat thing because you can power your house. So should the grid go down and you have one of these Ford F-150 bidirectional charging trucks, you can power your house from between 3 and 10 days, which sounds like a really neat thing. But if you think about it, it uses so much electricity to charge the battery that you could power your house for between 3 and 10 days. It's an enormous amount. So if you put all that together, Bert, I don't believe for a second that the grid that we have right now, whether it be any of those three grids that you talked about, I don't believe that it could sustain the current demand should people buy the electric cars in the quantities that the government wants us to buy electric cars in. I think the grid will collapse. And then I think we'll be looking at, do you want air conditioning, lights, dishwasher, washing machine, electric garage door opener, heat pumps, TVs, or do you want your electric car charged? I think that's what we're looking at. And then, once all this happens, they're going to say, well, you know, we had to ramp up the grid. We had to spend all this money on infrastructure. Where do you think this money comes from? Well, we're going to have to charge more for electricity. That's coming. So in order to ramp up for the people who have electric vehicles, everybody's going to be paying more for electricity. Bert, your comments.
That's already happening. In fact, in California, we pay some of the highest electric rates in the country, and we're paying even more now because this is probably a good thing, but finally, PG&E has begun a program to bury their high-voltage transmission lines, which if you follow the history of our forest fires, the most catastrophic fires we've had have been caused largely from PG&E power malfunctions, either transformers blowing up or wind blowing the wires together or breaking a wire, creating short circuits. So that's a good thing, but of course we're paying for it, and it's a massive undertaking. It's just begun here in California, so our rates are going even higher. They are going to beef up the capacity of those lines as they put them in, so it is one step toward improving our capacity of our infrastructure, but yeah, it's this is probably a long-term project all over the country, really all over the world, that's going to have to be undertaken to increase the electric grid.
Bert, you've been to the forum, and class, if you were to come to the forum, you would not see a power pole for 1,300 feet between the farmhouse and the road. You would not see a single power pole. And the reason is we had the option. The utility company said, would you like to have power poles every 300 feet, or would you like to have an interconnect box on the ground, one of these green boxes, that allows the joining of the underground cable every 300 feet, you know, pick one. And they said, if you'd like it underground, there's no extra charge for it, except for one thing. You'll have to dig the ditch 3 feet deep, and you'll have to provide the conduit to encase the high-voltage cable that would be underground. So if you want to do that, we'll put it underground. And I said, that's a no-brainer. We'll go underground. So it's a nice, clean look, except for one thing. If we ever needed to go across that buried cable, we'd have to figure out how to go across it, meaning, you know, put in a trench for a water line or put in a trench for another cable, because in the ground are buried high-voltage cables. Now, in California, it sounds like a great thing, except for the fact that the infrastructure will be underground. So it's not like it's not like a panacea.
No, and not to mention earthquakes.
Right. Right. And I believe, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, Bert, but I believe that you can get more current across the same diameter and metal conductors. If you keep the metal the same, and you keep the diameter the same, you keep everything the same, if you're in free air without insulation, you will get more current through there, or you can get more current through there, than if you have a buried cable and conduit. When we come back, would you give us the answer to that?
Yeah, and also...
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Fred, I just want to let you know you set a record in terms of class in attendance for this broadcast. So very, very well done.
Yeah.
So, Brett, the question was, all things being equal, meaning the same diameter, the same metallurgy of the wire, above ground, uninsulated on power poles can transmit more current or carry more current than the same wire insulated in the ground in conduit. Yes?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And really, current and voltage go together. So the real reason is that the overhead power lines can handle 400 kilovolts or even higher, whereas your underground cables can only handle, right now it's limited to 66 kilovolts. And it's complicated. It has to do with, you know, the field in the ground and the susceptibility. The underground's up to 10 times more expensive. You got to coat the wires with all kinds of materials. And if that isn't enough, the average lifetime for overhead power lines is 70 to 100 years, while underground power lines right now, we're, even with the latest technology, the latest polymer coatings, are only 35 years. So big difference all around. That said, what's the cost of a massive fire that wipes out, in the case of California, literally wiped out a whole town? Again, caused by, you know, it was a combination of weather and PG&E. So, you know, you have to weigh all that. What it may be is maybe there's some sort of a hybrid where the master, you know, sort of the high-voltage feeder lines stay above ground with some really good controls to immediately kill the power if any disturbance happens. And then the feeder cables, you know, say the next level be underground. So, but yes, Vince, you're correct. They don't last as long, they cost more, and they can handle much less current simply because the voltage, you know, with a given amount of resistance, if you increase the voltage, you can transmit more current through those lines. Vince, do we have a few minutes left to talk about what might be the end of civilization as we know it?
Sure, do it quickly, please.
Yeah, so we've talked often about coronal mass discharges. We've talked about what happened in 1859. 1929 and 1921. Right now, as we speak, there is a massive sunspot forming on the sun. It's already 3 to 4 times the size of the Earth. Now, the problem is we're going through a sunspot cycle where we're increasing, and we're going to hit a peak in a couple of years, but we're also in the time of year when we're more susceptible because the Earth is tilted on its axis. So right now, North America is tilted toward the sun. So if a discharge from these sunspots launches, and it may very well launch in the next few days, it'll take 2 to 3 days to hit the Earth. And if it happens as the Earth is rotating where North America is facing where that discharge hits, it could be catastrophic. So am I saying it's going to happen? No, but there's a non-zero probability. And if you look at all the times that it could occur, sort of like, you know, running roulette in Las Vegas is, you know, your number 9 might not come up every time. It might be, you know, out of 45 numbers or whatever, but eventually it's going to come up. And that's how you have to look at this. So we need to be prepared, because what does it all tie into? It ties into our electric infrastructure. That's the most vulnerable part of what happens when a coronal mass ejection hits the Earth. It happened in 1859. It happened in 1921. Smaller ones happened in the 80s. And if anything close to what happened to 1859 or 1921 comes now, we will be in a serious problem in our electric grid, because we're not prepared for it. We're only beginning to put in the changes to our infrastructure that we need.
Okay, Bert, so very quickly, to protect our class, there's nothing that we can do to prevent this class. So
no.
All you can do is minimize the impact on you. Bert, let me say a few things and comment, please. So if we get advance notice that this is coming in a few days and you have a couple of days to prepare, unplug all of your devices. Unplug your computers, anything with a microprocessor or a digital display. Unplug it and bunch up the cord, put an elastic band around it so it is as small as possible. Rather than being a long antenna stretched out, your power cords should be bunched up. Not necessarily in a loop, but all bunched up, kind of like when you buy a brand new device and it's got a tie around the power cord. Yes or no?
Yes, that'll help, because if you remember in 1859, telegraph operators were electrocuted because it was picked up by the overhead telegraph wires. So you don't want to have any long wires attached to nothing. You know, ideally they're attached to ground and they discharge it into the ground, but not.
So what we're talking about, class, is computer mice. Disconnect them. Computer keyboards, disconnect them. Bunch up the power cords, make them as small as possible so they can absorb as little energy as possible. Plug in surge protectors and power them on. Implement your whole house surge protector. But basically, unplug everything that is connected to a telephone, landline, or any cord. Any metallic cord is an antenna that will absorb this plasma. Any of them, make them as small as possible. And then we can ride out the coronal mass ejection should it occur. Yes, Bert, you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay, Bert, thank you very much for an outstanding class. The best yet.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.